This podcast is sponsored by Aurora Packaging Solutions, a global packaging solutions provider leading the transition to a more sustainably packaged future. They specialize in developing packaging and visual communication solutions that reduce the impact on the environment and bring sustainability goals to life. With a focus on partnership and service, they create a custom solution for your business. To learn more, please visit www.ororapackaging.com. Welcome to Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors. Today's guest is Allison Rack, the principal and CEO at Vetoka. How are you, Allison?
I'm good. Thank you.
Excellent. I want to talk about your presentation at the Aurora Sustainable Design Lab, but we'll get into that in a little bit because it was so awesome. I said, you have to be on my podcast. And you said, okay, I think I will. But tell us about yourself. What's your background?
Sure. So I have a company, a boutique consumer insight and innovation consultancy called Vetoka. My background, I actually started my career on Capitol Hill, which might seem disconnected, but I think it is actually, there's a lot of analogies. I worked on Capitol Hill after college for a number of years, and I grew up in California in Silicon Valley and moved back to Silicon Valley. And when I came back, I noticed some, I'd say, analogies. I think of it as the member of Congress is your brand. The legislation is your product and your constituents are your consumers. And it all, once you think of it in that paradigm, everything, there are a lot of analogies to be made.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I worked for a few different companies, including a design firm where I led the consumer insight function and then started Vetoka, 15 plus years ago. And we work with mostly larger, but not always, like I'd say like Fortune 500, let's say, companies doing just a range of different insight related work, more qualitative than quantitative, but all different methodologies really just to help customers, clients understand their consumers, make better decisions.
It's really excellent what you do. I have firsthand knowledge of that. But what on Capitol Hill did you do? Were you working with senators or?
I worked for a member of Congress. I started out as an intern and worked my way up. Ultimately, I was a legislative director. So just working with a lot of legislation, helping to, it's a great job, especially for a young person, because it's very exciting and lots going on. And I think it's changed a lot over the years, but I still think it's a great place to get your sea legs. Yeah, people say working one year on the Hill is like dog years. So you get 7 years of experience.
I believe that. If the movies I've seen are anything at all accurate, then it looks very intense every day.
Yeah, in a good way though, mostly.
Tell us about Vetoka. What you said, Fortune 500 companies will come to you. They're looking for information and you're going to help them gather that information. Can you tell us about that process?
Sure. We usually start with, it's always best to start with what the objectives are, right? What are the questions that you're trying to understand? And then if we have clarity on that, we can usually design any type of research methodology to answer those questions. As I mentioned, we focus more on qualitative methodologies, but that can really be anything from focus groups, whether it's in person or online, to ethnographies, to in-depth interviews. And there's all sorts of other kind of more creative techniques using different tools and methods these days. But really, it's all sorts of methods that involve trying to draw out from consumers, users, what they're thinking, feeling, believing about products and wanting also.
That's fascinating to me. I studied advertising and marketing in college, and I loved that consumer mindset kind of research, market research. I thought it was a really interesting part. That's one of the reasons I was excited to interview you. What kind of information are companies looking to learn from the market regarding sustainability and packaging?
So as companies have to make decisions around what types of products to build and what types of packaging to select. And And from the presentation that we did at the summit, there's constraints and decisions that companies need to make. And sometimes there's not a lot of flexibility around that. But consumer perception is should be a factor in all of that, because you can make the most sustainable packaging in the world. And we know that consumers say that sustainability or environmental impact is important in the packaging and the products that they're buying. But then you have to ask the question, do they know what is sustainable? And I don't mean that in a critical way that I'm judging consumers. I'm a consumer, right? We are not experts. And so the question is, it's not just about making the packaging sustainable. It's making it sustainable in a way that you're either, you can educate the consumers or you can make it really obvious, but you also want to get the credit. So I think that it's just understanding perceptions and then also maybe understanding what's driving those decisions, I would say. And sometimes companies will be deciding between a few different options, right? We have these three different options and we want to get feedback which one we should go, which direction we should take it.
Yeah, said, and for example, at the Aurora Sustainable Design Lab, you gave a presentation and asked questions about, is this sustainable? And there was nearly 100, what I would consider packaging experts in the room, and the answers weren't all the same. And I think that's very telling. We had Aurora customers, Aurora coworkers, and still differences of opinion, which is great, but is also very informative as to how important your work is, because we need to learn from that, right?
It was so interesting because I was focused on the research was focused on the consumers, right? And I was thinking I was going to come in and the message was going to be, gosh, consumers are not unanimous in their understanding of what's sustainable. Look, we're going to show them three different strawberry baskets and four different strawberry baskets. And it's basically 25% or they all, it's split evenly. And I was thinking that the experts would have a more defined point of view on which one was better. And it was fascinating that they didn't, and that there were so many different sort of justifiable reasons. If you take in transportation considerations, then this one. If you take in the food waste, then this one it would be. And so it really is, there's so many considerations, and it gets quite interesting.
I agree. It's confusing. I'll be at a conference and somebody will say, is this recyclable? And then there'll be a debate amongst people with sometimes 20 plus years of experience in the industry. And it's fascinating to me because sometimes all of those people are right based on where they're from, because every municipality has a different recycling scheme and every blue bin is different rules. And it's fascinating to learn. But
and the piece that we also like talked about, I don't know if you remember this, but the kind of, I guess the term is eco-anxiety, right? Yeah. The fact that consumers not only are a bit confused, but they want to do the right thing, right? We all know the data that consumers say that they will choose a product based on the packaging, at least that will be one factor, and that they will say that they will pay more for a product that uses more sustainable packaging or that is a more sustainable product, and that they have felt stress. I think in our survey, 2/3 said that they have felt stress in making a product decision because of the packaging waste that the product is generating. And it was even more so with younger people. So as companies, we're making these products that are creating this bit of, and I'm not saying it's like the biggest stress in the world that people carrying around, but it is. It's just like one more little source of stress. And then you layer on that they don't quite know how to appease it. So it's an opportunity, really, right? It's an opportunity to takes a, to alleviate a little bit of that stress if we can get it right.
I could not agree with you more. And whose job is it to make them feel at ease? And is that the brand? Is that the packaging company? Is that the design firm? Is that the municipality? Should they educate people on what's recyclable and what isn't and what's reusable? It's so overwhelming that people just shut down and oftentimes just say, I don't care. I'm not going to worry about that. That's not my job. And what I'm trying to do with my podcast and my TikTok page and all the things is say, it's not as hard as it looks. I promise. We're going to make, you know, there are some finite things, but there's also some really helpful ways to looking at these decisions. So right. I would like to get a little bit into the nuts and bolts as to how do you gather this information? Do you do like a survey? Do you meet with a group of people? How does that work?
So it totally depends. And as I mentioned, I always like to start with the objectives because that can drive the method. But there's always practical considerations as well, right? Talking to people in person is always great, but you can't always do that. And online is fantastic and affords us the ability to talk to people around the country or around the world. And that gives more flexibility. Sometimes we'll do surveys. Big picture, quantitative, such as surveys, is a great way to find out what, but qualitative is better at understanding why. So for example, the survey that we shared at the summit, we know that we know the what, right? We know that there is not consistency in people's understanding of which packaging is more sustainable, but we don't really know why they chose each one, right? If we wanted to understand that, we would have to do qualitative, meaning talking to people, focus groups, or you could do an online method or an asynchronous method that is qualitative in nature. I remember I did a project not long ago. A company was looking to make a piece of its product recyclable. They wanted to get feedback from teenagers, actually, which is one segment of their users.
Yeah.
And they wanted to understand what these teenagers thought about this decision, because it was going to be a, you know, pretty sizable investment to make this piece of the product. It wasn't the whole product, but it was a portion of the product that was currently a non-recyclable plastic, and it was going to be made into a recyclable plastic. And if we had done a survey, we would have found out most likely that this was not very important to them because that's what they told us in the focus groups. And that was surprising, right? Because they're teenagers and we think, oh, this generation is cares deeply about the environment. And so on first blush, that was a surprising learning. But because they were focus groups, we were able to have really great conversations. And the types of things that they said were things like, it's very small. Like this is a small component of the product relative to the entire product. So if you're going to focus on making something recyclable, this is not where I want you to focus. This part, they are thinking so deeply. They said, this particular part, we are using, I'm going to use it for 2 years. By the time I'm ready to discard it, I'm not going to remember that it's recyclable. How about the package that it comes with? It has so much waste. That's the part that I'm going to throw away right away. Or this other part that I'm only going to use for a few weeks. And they're going through the product piece by piece, thinking about the entire footprint, the lifespan, all of it. And they made the case for why this wasn't important. The recyclability of this piece wasn't important. And that's where when you do qualitative research and you talk to people and you show them and they're touching it and feeling it, that and you have to make trade-offs, right? Making it recyclable was going to have a few trade-offs in terms of the usability and quality of the product, and they're able to see that. And you can talk to people and say, oh, this is not a trade-off that I particularly want to make. So that's one example of kind of what you might learn from doing qualitative focus groups.
That's really incredible. It's very insightful. And right. I think companies would be very interested to learn about that kind of information. So I see why your company is successful and why you've done such a great job. I'd love to know your opinion, because we spent a day at the Aurora Sustainable Design Lab. What did you think of our new lab?
Oh, it was amazing, right? It was so great to see all the different types of materials that are available, to see them all in one place. And I loved the way they had the data displayed with them. So you could not only see them and touch them and feel them, but you could also have sort of the metrics, the comparison metrics, which I know is really hard to do. And there are some caveats around how they're, but just to even try to take a stab and put something out there was really great. And it also was so fantastic to just get the creative juices flowing, right? Because I could see how companies could come and start to see the materials. And then the section that has these different products in use, or just other products just for inspiration. I know that just from participating in a lot of innovation workshops, that when you're in an environment like that and you're able to use that kind of analogy-based innovation process, and you can see you've got access to the materials, you have access to the stories, you have access to all of these different end products that might be completely different than what your product is, but you're able to see it and be inspired and say, oh, that gets me thinking about what we're doing. And it just helps people make those leaps that are really hard to make in just everyday life, and really hard to make when you're sitting behind a desk in your regular environment. So I think that it's a fantastic place that I know that there's a vision of companies coming, and I think they've already started coming and doing these innovation workshops. And I think it's going to be incredible for those companies that are able to do that.
A quick break for our sponsor this month. Now is the time to go beyond recycling. SmartSolve pioneers certified bio-based water-soluble packaging technologies that empower consumers and businesses to effortlessly reduce plastic waste. Our non-toxic materials quickly and completely disperse when combined with water and agitation, thus making them easily recyclable, biodegradable, and even zero waste. If zero waste packaging interests you, please contact us today at info@smartsolve.com. Yeah, me too. So often I'll speak with a customer or a potential customer, and they'll say, I'm not even sure where to begin. And I think this lab helps you start at the beginning and say, okay, here's what we have, and sit down around a table with our design team and say, here's what we'd like to accomplish. We're not sure how to get there, but these are our ideas. And then have our design team say, have you thought of this? And then you go down that path a little bit. In my opinion, I think what the Sustainable Design Lab will do is it will expedite that process, and it will save companies years of frustration in saying, let's just buy this kind of packaging and see how it goes for this next 6 months. What if instead of that, they could have three different prototypes, or discuss in advance with all of these, this company did this, it was successful or it wasn't, and for them, but maybe that would work for us, or maybe that new idea, or I totally agree. It's a place where people can come up with new, sustainable, exciting ideas.
Right. Yeah.
Very much so. So I'd love to know your opinion on a couple things. Is perception of sustainability more important than actually showing a lower carbon footprint?
I don't think we can say that perception is more important. No, but is it important? Yes, because we need the consumers to participate, right? When they're the ones making the buying choices, unless we're going to be in a society where mandates are, if we're going to mandate everything and take the consumer decision out, if that's what it comes to someday, Sure. But assuming that's not the case and that we need consumers to be active participants, then perception is a piece that needs to be factored in.
Right.
And it's not even perception of sustainability is important, but I would also say that taking it like maybe just taking a step back, that just consumer experience factoring it in is important as well. So for example,
right.
If a company is looking to change, wanting to change consumers' behavior, say it has to do with how they're reusing a product, refilling or something like that. And you say, there's three different ways we could approach this. You would definitely want to engage with consumers and understand how much change they are willing to make. It might surprise you, right? You might find that you think that they're not willing to make a change that they are. Or I did a project one time where we went to a company's, they were having like a customer summit. It was a healthcare product. And it was like a customer summit, and they had some new packaging options that they wanted to get feedback on. So we just set up a little mini research at their summit along with everything else and had like three different options. And people could just, the doctors could come by and say, oh, this one would work really well because of this particular space that we have in our office. And they have these workarounds that they use that the person in designing the products don't really always know how the products are being used in real life. And so talking to people becomes really important. And sometimes the packaging is not even being used. And so you're making this packaging that gets discarded before it's even being used. And that's obviously not what nobody wants. And so I'm not going to say that perception is more important than reality, but sometimes perception becomes part of your reality. And it's definitely important to at least understand what the perception is.
What a great point. And maybe it's educating what reality is on the pack and saying, this is sustainable because, and I think consumers are interested in that. People are reading boxes more and bottles more. Mm-hmm. They're open to input, I think, and interested in being part of the solution. At least most people that I've talked to seem to care more than they ever have about the environment. And that's really cool to be a part of that world.
Yes, they care and they want to know the truth. They don't want to be tricked, right? They don't want to be, everybody knows about greenwashing and that makes people cynical and is not helpful for the cause.
Right. So anything else you wanted to tell us about your company or yourself?
Oh, gosh. I just think it's great what you guys are doing. It was great to get to speak at the summit and hear all of the different perspectives. And I think that we've talked about this already, but I think that just the more that companies are interested in what consumers have to say, the better decisions they make before they're investing, right? I will say it definitely, I've seen it happen many times where research it's not free, but gosh, it can be a really good investment before giant expensive decisions are made.
Very true.
I think that asking consumers their and understanding their perception, sometimes it's validating, which is great before a big decision is made. And obviously if a big surprise comes about, then it's a relief that you took the time to ask consumers what they think. So
I agree. I'm honored to be a part of Aurora and so excited to work with the amazing team of Chris Bradley and our designers and our managers. It's the most exciting time ever to work for Aurora Packaging. Seriously, 21 years and I've never been happier to be there.
You guys are doing amazing things. And I know that Chris is so inspiring to work with. And I'm sure the workshops that he is leading and the projects that he is doing over there are any company that's able to participate in those, they will leave talking about it for years to come.
Yeah, I can confirm that. The companies we've had come through so far have been just totally excited and appreciative of the new tools and the lab and all the testing equipment. And it's a huge hit already.
That's awesome.
Let's talk about how people get in touch with you when they need data, when they need to know what to do next.
Sure. Yeah. So we have a website. It's Vetoka.com. It's funny. Vetoka stands for Virginia to California. So VATOCA.com. I joke around that the company name is Virginia to California, otherwise known as URL that was available.
Well played. Nice.
Yes. I am Allison at Vetoka.com. Allison with two L's and an I. And yeah, LinkedIn and all the normal places. And
I'll put all those links in the notes.
Yeah, we do mostly custom work, but just we work with companies and talk about what their objectives are and figure it out from there.
That's awesome. And we have quite a few students that listen to this podcast. Could packaging students sign up to be a part of your survey to make a few bucks?
It's interesting that we typically source our participants from third parties. We don't necessarily hold a panel because it's like a separate thing, but I'd be happy to talk to any students or put them in touch with there's so many different panel providers out there. So I know it is a great way to earn some money. And especially when you're a student and they're very articulate.
Yeah. You know,
they have some good, important decisions. I agree. Sustainability, the student perspective is so important. I have one of my teen daughters said to me not long ago, she said, "We watch these movies in class and they're all the same. They tell us about how the world, the environment, and how it's all falling apart. And at the very end, they say, but it doesn't have to be this way. And it's up to you."
Yeah.
And she said, "It's so stressful. And I feel like, wait, why is it up to me? And I'm supposed to be getting good grades and getting into college and taking the SAT. And now I have to save the environment also." And I'd be like, what am
I
doing?
I think she's right. It's too much pressure being put on by the people that make these movies and these documentaries. And what about putting some of that onus on the people that caused the problem? Originally, some of those big companies or maybe other forces at work. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we can all. Yeah. So I think it's good to give them all a voice. So yeah, but put your students in touch and they can be part of the, give their opinions if nothing else and take some of that, let them have a voice. And yeah, that would be great.
Thank you so much, Allison. I really appreciate your wisdom.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on.
Okay.
This episode is sponsored by SpecWrite, the first purpose-built platform for specification management. So much has changed when it comes to packaging, and there's a new book to help you stay ahead of the curve, The Evolution of Products and Packaging, written by longtime packaging executive Mr. Matthew Wright, helps you unpack industry trends and explains how you can use data to drive packaging innovation and sustainability. Download your free copy today at specwrite.com/book. That's SPECWRIGHT.com/book.